CliffCentral.com. Breathe deeply. Tomorrow's Friday and then it's the weekend. And it's spring. And we found out who's crooked us out of 2 billion rand in mostly municipal money. And also, individuals who saved and took their money to the stupid VBS bank, and now they've had to pay the price by having all of their money taken away and given to thieves. We'll find out all about that and so much more. It's a busy morning this morning. I'm very, very pleased on cliffcentral.com to welcome someone we've spoken to before on the phone and on Skype, and finally she's here in the studio with us, Catherine Child. She is a journalist, a coffee addict, a dreamer, and she's written for a number of very credible publications in South Africa, and even one or two incredible ones, like the Mail and Guardian. Sorry, that was mean of me.
Don't read those stories. They're terrible.
What, the Mail and Guardian ones?
I was very new to journalism.
Okay, well, that's so
you know. They're the first ones that come up if you Google me, and they're terrible.
But look what you've done since. You know?
I hope it got better.
Yeah, of course it got better. Why do you think we have you here? You think we'd have you here if you weren't great at what you do?
Well, thank you. Oh,
how are you, Catherine?
It's early. I don't know how you get up so early.
It's awful, right? Have you met Sia, Leanne, Nolo? You met everybody else. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Catherine. All right, so Catherine, just to get you on board with what we do here, in case you don't already know, and anybody who might be joining us for the first time today, we do a segment of the show every Thursday where we talk about stuff that's going on in politics and news and in society, the things that people are talking about, the things people are interested in. And among those, obviously all the political stories, it's called The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. It's really like a crash course in all the subjects that are likely to come up during the course of your week. And you'll at least know something if you listen to some of our very, very interesting people who come in and share stories with us and try to explain some of the complex issues behind South Africa and why this place is as strange as it is. So let's get cracking straight away. We've got a brand new finance minister, and all of 2 days and we're already bored with him. People have moved on. It didn't take long, huh?
Well, he must be the only finance minister with a song. I mean, we know Casper Nyovest had a song about how rich he was last year. Unless you count Malusi Gigaba, other finance minister who was quoting songs in Parliament.
Well, we could talk about in a moment, because he was slippery as all hell yesterday while he was accounting for himself and saying, oh, no, he doesn't. He only knows these four Guptas. He doesn't know all the other Guptas. And a lot of the stuff happened while he wasn't minister, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to Malusi in good time. As will eventually the prosecutors. But let's start with Tito. How have people responded to this? What's the general response been to bringing back an old minister from the dead?
It seems like the ANC doesn't have a lot of good staff. They keep replacing people. So I think there were a lot of jokes about Tito coming back. He was the Reserve Bank governor. Apparently business likes him, but then he was the Labour minister in the early 90s, and his Labour laws we still have today, very strict Labour laws, very hard to fire people. So if you look a bit deeper, I don't think he's as exciting as everybody makes out.
And we also know business is really cowardly, and having been through the era of Des van Rooyen and things like that, the business community will just take whatever government dishes up for them, and they'll say, oh, well, we'll make the best of this. Because frankly, as long as they're making money, they're okay.
I think they lobby behind closed doors. I mean, the banks met Zuma after Des van Rooyen. But what they say publicly is always like, everything's so good, it's cool, we like him.
Well, Tito, he's got a kind of a checkered past as well. But he seems to be more or less one of the golden boys of the Mandela era in some ways. People always, you know, held him as a good example as a governor of the Reserve Bank of what we should be doing. Even though some people have criticized him heavily for saying, well, we had some of the worst exchange controls implemented during his time there.
Yeah, and apparently the rand was not great. It was very volatile. Business does like him. I mean, he sat on a lot of boards of companies at the moment. He's going to have to probably resign from those. So he is seen as more of a capitalist, despite the fact he's calling on Twitter for a state bank and state-owned fund, and he seems very chummy with the EFF.
Do you think that he's just one of those people who will... he'll just say yes to a whole lot of things.
I don't know. I think maybe his Twitter profile's just random, and maybe he's actually much better in the job. Like, what he says on Twitter, maybe we can't take so seriously.
What? People on Twitter aren't serious people?
His tweets are ridiculous.
And of course they are. And so are Donald Trump's, and so are most people on Twitter. Most people are morons on Twitter.
So I think that's got to be a pinch of salt. Although he did point out that the EFF was ridiculous for wanting Venezuela's economic policies. So that's a good thing.
Well, let's see what happens. What is the political party's response been, besides the ANC's, who obviously rally behind him?
Well, I think the DA is fairly pleased. They've always got something to say. The EFF seems to like him, which is kind of makes me nervous, because the EFF was gunning for Nene. We're not sure why yet.
Yeah.
So their support of him is a little suspicious, but maybe that's just me being overly cynical.
Well, I'm curious, since you're in a cynical mood, how much of what President Cyril Ramaphosa is doing and has done since he took office is reactive, and how much of it is proactive? It almost feels to me like the agenda is set by
someone else,
the EFF, or by people who threaten him within the ANC.
It does seem like he's struggling in the NEC. I mean, him and Ace are not the best of friends, so I don't know how much power he has. But then, I mean, they've got rid of all the boards of dodgy companies. Danel's CEO's gone, Transnet CEO's gone. So I think some of what he's done is he's actually cleaning up the state-owned enterprises. Not getting a lot of credit for that. The land stuff, yeah, that seems very much what the EFF wants. I think it's just rhetoric, but it's still dangerous.
All right, so Tito's in, and that means that we've got a whole new set of I suppose, variables to bring into the picture. And he's got to make a midterm budget speech soon, doesn't he?
The 24th of October. That's, yeah, economists are not looking forward to that, because they're thinking the taxes are not great. Even with VAT up, the sugar tax, they're not getting in the money they thought. So he's going to have a nice deficit and having to explain where the money's going to come from. And yep, there's problems at all the state-owned enterprises that are needing bailouts. So,
and there's an investment strike. People are sending money out of the country, not bringing it in.
Huge amounts of money going out of the country. So he's kind of stuck with a really poison chalice. It'll be interesting to hear where the money comes from in his budgets.
All right, well, let's talk about the North Gauteng High Court that have noted and ruled that Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba, at that stage Finance Minister, lied under oath when he testified during his tenure as Home Affairs Minister in a case filed by a company that was going to open a private immigration terminal at the country's biggest airport. Now, this is amazing. Malusi says, you know, I am completely clean, I'm a good guy. He really is living in cloud cuckoo land. There seems to be enough evidence just on the face of what the North Gauteng High Court said to pretty much put him in jail for
perjury,
but maybe even treason, you know?
So he went to court four times. He's lost every single time on the same matter. Basically, the Oppenheimers, who he was really negative about in the court papers, wanted to run a private airport terminal, which is not that weird. There are apparently 5,000 of them in America, and it's for the rich and connected to kind of skip immigration. But
who wouldn't want that? That's one of the reasons you want to be rich, so you can get in and out of the airport easily.
Well, that's what AXA wanted, because they need money.
Right.
And, of course, Danel, who's bankrupt and can't pay salaries at the moment, they own the land that the Oppenheimers were leasing for this terminal.
Hmm.
So they've been trying to get the go-ahead to have Home Affairs officials there to rubber stamp passports since 2013.
Wow.
Yeah. They've been messed around a long time. Eventually in 2016, 3.5 years later, Malusi says in a meeting, okay, you can have immigration officials. You'll pay for them, but they can be there and rubber stamp these rich people's passports. And then he changes his mind. So they take him to court. It's now been 4 years. They're leasing this land and they can't do anything with it. And the court finds that he lies, and that he did say that he was going to approve the immigration officials, and he suddenly denied it. And they were not kind to him.
Well, I mean, would you be? You've been paying for something, you didn't get any value for it, right?
The court went even further. They said, well, like, there was a whole thing that the Guptas had also wanted to run a terminal there for the rich and famous.
I thought they did. It was called Watercliff Air Force Base.
Well, they wanted another one at Oratambo.
Oh.
So the court actually finds, no, well, Malusi, like, Oppenheimers didn't even bring this up, and they didn't throw any shade on you, and they were very fair, but look what you said. And then they quote all these things that Malusi says, well, his lawyers say about the Oppenheimers, saying they're well-connected, moneyed, politically powerful family that want to deprive benefits from the public.
Huh.
And what planet are they coming from? This is in the court papers, that they think a terminal's appropriate. So the court had a lot to say about Malusi and his dodgy lawyers.
Wow. Do you think he's going to get away with this one, or is this also going to not go his way, and then he's going to end up in even more trouble because he was in front of Parliament as well, right?
Well, he got away with this. I mean, he took it to the Concord, and they wouldn't even hear the case, and he's still in power. He looked shifty in Parliament.
Very shifty.
Those eyes, like, he doesn't lie well. He did not come across honest. And his they asked him if the Guptas had phoned him, and he says, no, his phone is a buzz. He gets so many calls, he can't remember if they phoned him.
Oh, what a nonsense story.
If we were like him, he says to the DA, and he had so many calls, we'd also know that, like, we wouldn't remember who
so
phoned
important.
Us.
He's so busy and important.
He's known the Guptas for 10 years, but he doesn't remember a single phone call from them.
Wow. That's a proper, he should go to what do they call these people? A neurologist. Have that checked out.
Yeah, he didn't sound very clever.
No. So what do you think, this presents, and I said on Monday when Cyril was thinking about getting rid of Nene, because he asked him if he could resign, I thought this is an opportunity for Cyril.
Yeah, I thought he can get rid of Butterbee. Dalvini, Shilaid, Mlusi, Mvula, who went and bankrupted the water department and then gave bonuses to staff.
Get rid of them. Now's your chance. But I mean, he hasn't appointed an NPA chief yet, right? He could do that now, and he could take all these people out overnight.
And he's got a deadline. I'm not sure. He was only given 90 days or something to appoint an NPA chief. The deadline's looming. He hasn't put anyone in parliament in power.
Well, that would be such a win. Cyril wants to take control. This is his chance.
Well, some
people... What's he pussyfooting around for? What's wrong with this guy?
I think he doesn't have all the support in the ANC, but people say a cabinet reshuffle after the elections. And I don't know how much...
We can't wait that long.
I know, Malusi must go now. Really.
Especially if you're a really bad liar. There's only one thing South Africans can't tolerate more than corruption, and that's a bad actor. Look how long they last on Generations.
And a bad tweeter.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Concord, because they also ruled that former Minister of Social Development, Batabile Dlamini, withheld information from them. Mm-hmm. That obviously is acting in bad faith. It ordered her in a personal capacity. This is quite a watershed moment in South African law and politics and the intersection between the two, to pay 20% of the costs incurred by Black Sash and Freedom Under Law herself. She has to pay it out of her own pocket.
Because she was lying. So
yes.
They asked Bernard Ngwepe, judge, to look into this whole matter and if she should pay costs. He had his own hearing, and he found out that she had lied. Basically, they wanted to know, she had set up work streams to take, which are basically groups of people, to look at taking over the payment of social grants. And she says, no, they didn't. They answered not to me. They answered to SASSA, the social grant people. And the hearing found that they answered to her. They answered to no one else. She was in control. The court said, well, you lied about this completely, and we're going to slap you with costs. And the costs are millions.
Oh, really? So does she have the money?
Well, no one seems to think so. City Press went and looked at what she declared, and it wasn't very much money. So if she's honest, she doesn't have a lot. But Freedom Under Law says... So she's got to pay 20% of their costs of two advocates. They said, we will go after her, and if she doesn't pay, we will make sure that the sheriff of the court takes her assets. She's going to pay. So,
what assets does she have? I mean, this is going to be an interesting thing to figure out.
She must have a house.
Well, maybe. We don't know. Right? This is going to be fascinating.
Or
we're
banks.
Going to find out what the ministers get and what they have.
She's got to have bank accounts they can attach.
Sure. That would be fun.
Well, Freedom Under Law doesn't give up on a fight, so they will get that money. Good for them.
That's excellent. Let's see what happens. All right, Batabile Dlamini, I can't believe we're still dealing with her.
And actually, the Concord said to the MPA, the one that doesn't have a head, they should look at if they should charge her criminally with perjury. So they've suggested, go and look there, which could mean she could go to jail if something happens.
The media is always notoriously quiet about farm murders, but there was one in Wellington that's got people talking.
Yeah, I don't know why that one. Like, the media likes to not cover farm murders unless they're Afrikaans or unless they're Marula Media, which belongs to AfriForum. But for some reason, this farm murder in Wellington...
What happened?
It wasn't even a murder. Five guys get to Wellington on a Friday night. There's a family having a braai. They've got balaclavas. No one knows how they got onto the farm. They interrupt the braai. They lock the family in the house. They're like an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 10-year-old kid. The mom tries to push the door closed, tries to keep them out of a room, and they stab her hands quite badly. They break the father's knees. So both of them have landed up in hospital. He's got three fractures in one knee. And then they told Netvac 24 that they are not leaving. Like, this is our farm. We're coming back. We're not scared off the land. So that was their take. But it's just bizarre. It was very violent.
So no one was killed, but people were definitely attacked. And this
people were badly injured. Yeah. And it made the news, but no one died. And there's kind of mixed reports about what they stole.
Well, it's still a horrible situation. I mean, you imagine you're just having a braai and a bunch of kids come and hold you up.
Well, I think they're kind of older, but their kids were there. The people, the family who were having the braai.
Oh, right. Okay,
their
sorry.
Children were watching this whole thing.
I got you.
Horrible
for them.
Well, nine farm attacks apparently last week. These weren't murders. And I mean, imagine nine politicians being attacked, or nine police officers, or nine journalists. It would be front page news.
Every week.
But it's no one blinks an eyelid because it's farm
every
murders.
Week. Every other week. All right. Thousands of ANC supporters took to Joburg streets to ask for better service delivery. But hang on, this is the ANC protesting the ANC.
It was amazing.
What is? Just explain that to me.
It was so funny.
This is absolutely incredible. This is like, oh man, this is like the Hillary Clinton supporters protesting Hillary Clinton.
It was like talking to people who maybe you'd think we're at a psych ward and couldn't make sense. So they weren't actually protesting the ANC. Well, let me first say it was huge. I get there and I think, oh, there's going to be 50 marches. Well, there were thousands. If the ANC could organize the economy like they did the march, we'd be rich. Perfectly peaceful, thousands of people bust in, all with ANC T-shirts, to protest actually against Herman Mashaba, which was ridiculous. So he's the DA mayor of the city of Joburg, mm-hmm. and he is responsible for everything going wrong. They don't like the fact they're paying more for electricity, the fact that certain free Wi-Fi spots were stopped. The one woman said, but there's no jobs in Orange Farm. Then the other lady said to me, no, but I'm still in the shack. We've got no RDP houses. Then there were posters complaining about the cost of water, crime. Someone else said cable theft. You know, the electricity is always off because someone's stolen cables.
So is this all about Herman Mashaba?
Well, I don't know how he's responsible for any of these things, but he was blamed for all of it by the marches.
Is it all the provincial government's problem to sort out?
I think it depends on the department. Some's national, some's provincial. Yeah. I mean, Eskom is responsible for electricity hikes, not Herman Mashaba.
Yeah, so in other words, this is really just a very bad example of how the ANC doesn't know that the ANC is responsible for the ANC's people's problems.
It was amazing.
Wow.
They had this poster saying we want title deeds for the land. So I'm like, well, you do know the government owns the most land and the government's ANC and your ANC, so why don't you ask your own leaders for the title deeds? No, Herman Mashaba must give us title deeds.
Well, I think he is.
He is, exactly. I mean, the ANC isn't, but now they're protesting because he must do it, but he is doing it. He's been doing it since he was in power.
This must have been the greatest collection of stupid people in South African history for at least the last 10 years.
It was bizarre.
If we lost all of these people, I don't think it would affect the economy at all.
At least,
like, if they were all swallowed up into the earth, it wouldn't hit the GDP by 0.001%. These are not productive or useful people, right?
Well, they were kind of like brainwashed people because they all said the same thing. And when you get like 3,000 people and you speak to a whole bunch of them and they're all blaming Herbert Mashaba for every ill, then you kind of just think they've been told what to say and they can't think for themselves.
Well, isn't that kind of how it works? Maybe they got a free T-shirt.
They got both a free T-shirt, very honest, a free yellow T-shirt, which I was offered, and a free lunch on the bus, what would have been breakfast. So they got a meal.
Okay. That's why they're saying what they say. These are poor people who don't have a lot of options in life, and they got a free meal and a T-shirt.
And they're unemployed, and it's kind of fun to walk through Joburg instead of doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And because your government can't provide you with a job, your job is to do things they give you a free lunch for.
To march and say ridiculous things.
Wow. What an incredible story. All right, let's talk a little bit about VBS. I don't want to go into detail because obviously a lot of people still making their way through the report. It was only released by the Reserve Bank yesterday. But this is terrible news for the EFF. I mean, Floyd Shivambu, it appears, according to a story I read just this morning, that he got 10 out of the 16 million that his brother Brian is supposed to have got from VBS Bank.
Yeah, they're not saying anything. But I mean, the whole thing looks dodgy because when the Reserve Bank puts VBS and administration, out comes the EFF saying you're targeting a black-owned bank and they played the race card.
Sure. And then we were all going, huh?
I mean, they play the race card, and look what they've done. They've expropriated all that money without compensation, which is what they want to do with the land, and they've given it to Floyd's brother and maybe Floyd himself.
Who are the biggest losers here in terms of people who would have put money into VBS? Because I know the municipalities are the stupidest, because they were forced, they were pressured, right?
Municipalities were pressured and bribed. I mean, that's what's come out. People got money to keep their money there. I think the biggest losers, Zikona Shona from ENCA went and found all these poor pensioners queuing for their money in kind of rural poor places in South Africa. I'm not sure exactly where. And these are people with nothing, and they lost money. And these are the so-called poor that the EFF represent, and yet, one of their leader's brothers coined 16 million. And of course the taxpayer, because the PIC, which is government pensions.
They put a whole lot of money in there, and not just the PIC, but the KZN Transport Department.
Yeah, they were...
some very strange people who had no business being in the vendor bank.
There were all sorts of people from KZN who put in money, but government-related. There was some guy who had a business and he wanted government contracts in KZN, so they made him use the bank.
And there was only one mention of Jacob Zuma in the whole report, and that was that his foundation got a paltry 1 million.
Only 1 million.
But, that's the stuff that's in the report.
But and Zuma gets something in everything. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the doctors, teachers, government workers lost because the PIC again threw away money. Because their staff got huge kickbacks for investing in the bank and stealing from it.
That's amazing. Can I just read this to you quickly? This is a tweet that I picked up. Apart from Brian Shivambu and Floyd, I have to ask, says this guy on Twitter, why KPMG is still in business? Because they were the auditors tasked with cleaning up this bank. KPMG partner Sipho Malaba knew about nearly 1 billion cash shortages at the bank, but signed off on their financials anyway.
And he got money. So on that list of people who got money...
Well, that's why he signed off.
He's been fired from KPMG, but he signed off on the audit and he got money himself. He was very, very implicated in that whole heist.
Can I just ask, are these people going to go to jail? Is there any likelihood that there will be accountability here, that the NPA will do what it's there to do?
Whoever goes to jail, sorry, this
really?
Is South Africa. You can lie in court and stay in power.
God, that is terrible. No one goes to jail, ever.
If you smoke dacha, they tried that. I mean, 60% of all arrests until this recent judgment were dacha-related, but no, not the corrupt people.
All right, so what do you think is going to happen with Cyril in this NPA office? I mean, surely he's got to have a shortlist. Have we got any indication of who might be the next public prosecutor?
I have no idea. I mean, one of the theories, and it was in Business Day yesterday, is that people don't want the job. So he goes to kind of senior lawyers and people like Chulumanco Ncera that some have suggested, and no one wants this. The NPA has been corrupt. There's been so much interference. And he's going to find... It's a tough job to find someone who wants it. That's the latest thinking.
Wow.
But the Justice Minister is supposed to have given him a short list of names, and that hasn't happened. So, not just Cyril's fault.
Is that still Michael Masuta?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, well, the only thing I've seen him do recently was carte blanche. And that's never a good sign. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Catherine, that's a lot to chew on this week. Another quiet week in South African politics, huh?
Very depressing.
Nothing really to talk about. I don't know how you managed to do your job as a journalist. There's nothing to write about.
Nothing
anymore.
At all.
Nothing.
It should be Australia.
Go home and twiddle your thumbs, you know?
At least we don't have to write about the weather. They do that in Australia. There was a front page story about the tarmac melting from the heat.
Oh, my God, the tarmac! Holy shit. All right, well, thank you very much. That was brilliant. There we go. That's your burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. So much stuff to think about this morning. Thanks, Catherine. Catherine Child, and you can read more in various publications. Who are you writing for principally at the moment? Daily Maverick?
No, the Times Select.
Times Select.
It's a paywall, but you got to pay for news. So we're part of Times Live, but pay for us.
If you want good stuff, you got to pay.
It's not that much, 80 rand a month.
No, that's not so bad. Some people spend that on...
coffee?
Absolutely.
Vodka.
People spend way more than that.
Now
coffee.
You're speaking our language, vodka, yes.
Some people, much worse stuff.
It's less than a bottle of vodka, $80 a month.
That's right. And that's all really you need as a journalist to power you through the week is a bottle of vodka.
That's our boss.
Okay. Well, I was trying to help you out there, but there we go. All right, very good. Thank you, Catherine. That's the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's every week right here on cliffcentral.com. And plenty of really interesting stuff happening, so lots for you to sink your teeth into today. All right. When we come back, we're going to get into a couple of the other stories that are going on, and we'll take your calls and hear what you have to say. 0861-555-189. Call Nolo now, and she'll put you through. And if you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090. Some of the things that have come up this morning, it's weird how you know some subjects just peep their heads over the parapets and they kind of take over the day. Well, mental health has come up a lot this morning. Catherine Child was saying there are a lot of people who sounded like they were from the psych ward at that ANC protest against the ANC.
Yes.
Such a weird thing to do. But there are loads of people who actually do suffer from this. And, of course, it is – what is it? There was some email that was sent to me. It's like Suicide Prevention Month, or it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
The World Health Organization's Mental Health Day.
That one. Yes. I knew it. I was just testing you.
It was
yesterday. Yes.
Mental. World Mental Health Day. We sound like we sound.
All right. Good. I like it.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a person who suffers from depression and anxiety.
Yes, you do.
And I'm quite withdrawn and, you know, introverted most times.
You're very quiet a lot of the time. I've seen you when you're not in the best of minds.
Really?
Yeah, once or twice.
I don't even realize sometimes.
Sometimes Deanne sits and she just imagines she was dead.
Well, I told you the once I wished I could just sit at the bottom of the pool.
No. To stop making fun of this stuff, because it is a real issue, and I think more people than you would imagine.
350 million people in the world.
At least.
Who suffer from anxiety and depression.
At least. They say it could be up to one in every four people, according to the statistics that I read just a couple of days ago.
A lot of people don't admit it.
From the World Health Organization.
Some don't realize they have it.
Yeah.
Now that you've been diagnosed, are you able to feel it coming on? That's what I've always wanted
it's
to
always
know.
On.
Or does it just hit it's you as there. A wave?
The depression is always on.
So what does the medication do?
It helps your brain create more of the chemicals that you need to have, the happy hormones. Or one of the ones that I'm on,
mm-hmm.
actually creates like caveats in your neurons to accept more of the hormone. So you can imagine like a little bubble
going
into...
Like it makes an exception.
Yes. Imagine a little bubble fitting into a crater.
Mm-hmm.
It creates those craters and it does permanently as well.
Wow.
So that you can receive more of the happy hormones.
Because this is all chemical, right?
Yes.
You get different kinds of depression, but the one that you're talking about is like a lifelong situation.
Yes. It is lifelong. And I do go for therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
break that down. Sorry, what does that mean?
It's training your brain to think differently and for you to act differently on your feelings.
Okay.
Yeah. And so to be more logical, because like a lot of people with depression use words. This is one example. They'll use words like always or everybody. Like everybody hates me or the robot's always red. And it trains your brain to ask yourself, does everybody in the whole world really hate you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Is the robot really always red? No. So it's that sort of thinking.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting. I read something not so long ago about how magic mushrooms, psilocybin, is being used to test, as one of the means to test whether people can be brought out of a permanent state of chemical depression. And they say that there are massive strides being made in that area. But obviously it's now science, so it's not like everybody should go and self-medicate
and
with this stuff.
You're dealing with
really
so many
careful.
Different types of mushrooms. I mean, you're not
sure.
It's not a clinical thing.
Well, that's why they're doing these tests, and they are making some interesting progress. But they're obviously in medical science. They make more and more strides towards figuring out some of these problems. And the weird thing for me has always been, we treat people who have a physical ailment, a physical illness. Let's say you get a cold, or you have a crick in the neck. Or you've got a spasm in your leg or whatever. People don't go, oh, have you heard Leanne has a spasm in her leg?
Yeah.
They go, oh, shit, I'm sorry to hear about your spasm in your leg.
Yeah, how's that spasm today?
Yeah. But they don't do that with mental illness. It's like there's a whole different way of behaving when someone says to you they're depressed, or they've got a little bit of mania, or they've got multiple personality disorder, or they're bipolar, or any of those things. People's whole attitude to them changes. They're like, oh, she's a bit crazy.
Yeah. And it's a lot of it is because something like a cold is very predictable, and we've all had one, so we can understand what it feels like, and we know that it works its way out of your system. With mental illness, there's so many varied degrees of types of mental illness that you can have, or just if it's depression, there's so many different types. It's not controlled, and it's not easy for people to understand. And, you know, even some doctors who treat physical ailments don't recognize, or they're not really able to work with people with mental illness. It actually scares them because they're not in control of it.
Well, wow. I suppose also it has to do with how it manifests. And a lot of people, and this was key to me starting to empathize with people who have depression, among other mental illness situations, is that I realized that it's not circumstantial. In other words, it's not because their life is necessarily bad or because they've had terrible things happen to them. Those things obviously affect all of us.
Mm.
But for someone who's depressed, that's something that happens regardless of what's going on in their lives.
So the question is not, if you say, I'm so depressed, a lot of people will reply and say, what are you depressed about?
Mm, it's not that.
It's not about anything.
Okay.
You're just depressed.
Yeah, no.
No, I just, I don't know if Leanne was around when I spoke about my own depression,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that I decided to take myself off the meds, you know, because, yeah, it just wasn't working out. And I would think it's safe to say I'm still depressed because I wasn't.
Well, you sounded not. You really sounded
now. No, no, I'm just saying. Yeah, I guess the meds work for some people. And
is that a good idea to just take yourself off?
No, not at all.
The doctor.
No, and a lot of them you have to phase yourself out. Otherwise, you can have seizures. I mean, there's one that I take where I feel these electric shocks if I haven't taken it in a day.
My God.
And wow. That can lead to seizures. And then you need to be on epileptic medication to get off of that. So it's not something that you should just stop.
No, speak to the professionals. You're not a doctor.
And also, depression medication is changing all the time. They're coming up with new ones all the time, less side effects, more effective. And, yeah, some people will totally not do well on one.
Well, they say that in America, that there's so many people on antidepressants, it is the single biggest category of drugs that is claimed on medical aid. How's that?
Hmm.
Do you know of Serlife?
Pardon?
Do you know of Serlife?
No.
S-E-R?
Oh, Life. Wait, I've heard of it.
Yeah, I was on that 50 milligram dose a day.
Okay.
It was Serlife.
Yes, healthy. I've been on that before.
And how was it for you?
Obviously, I've been on a few, so it obviously didn't work because I'm on others now.
This sounds like an episode of Come Dine With Me.
Yeah.
That's putting for you. All right. I don't want us to be talking about particular drugs and their effects. It affects everybody differently, and I do think, like, honestly, without any nonsense, speak to the doctor before you just take yourself off stuff and find out if there's an alternative if it's not working. Seriously. Well,
to be honest, I've been feeling fine ever since.
Yeah,
I'm not
dependent. What do you know? You're crazy.
Your version of fine.
I'm incurable.
No, you know what I mean. Like, just talk to the professionals. They know what they. The people study this their whole lives long. They know what they're talking about. You may be more aware of how you feel and what you are, but you need to have someone who's an expert.
Or at least speak to a therapist. CBT therapist.
That might be a good idea.
All right.
There we go. So there's our little project for Mental Health Awareness Day.
World Mental Health
Day. I mean, the whole reason why this caught my attention is specifically because in the UK, a dedicated and first ever Minister for Suicide Prevention is to be appointed as part of a landmark effort by Theresa May.
A minister?
Yes, he's going
for
to be
Suicide Prevention
Minister. That's his title. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's a useful ministry.
He's going to be Tory MP Jackie Doyle Price.
Oh, that's a horrible name.
Maybe it's a her.
to her. I think it's Jackie Doyle Price. Sounds like she, yeah, she could be a she. You yeah, never know these days. I mean, you know, if I'd said to you, here's Minister Caitlyn Jenner, what would you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Sean Gray says on the WhatsApp line, the first step was asking for help. The antidepressants changed my life. It took me a very long time to ask for help, but I'm so glad that I did. Yeah, Sean, thanks for that, because I reckon a lot of people suffer in silence. They don't know what to do.
Definitely.
They're scared and embarrassed to admit they might have something wrong.
And I think for people, that's why I was asking, do you feel it coming? Some people, I think, yes, might not. That might be their normal. They might just be going on with life, just calling it and dismissing it and saying, oh, I just have a negative outlook. Or, oh, yeah, I know I'm pessimistic. But it might be something very
well, especially with anxiety, you can feel it when it's coming. And the therapy helps you with that. And also medication. I mean, there are tranquilizers you can take when you feel the anxiety coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That is more controllable, but the depression is a bit difficult to get a handle on.
Huh. So we're going to have a minister for suicide prevention in the UK.
Yes.
Could be a very forward-thinking move. And what about in South Africa?
Well, in South Africa, our government's pretty upbeat about the whole thing. They say that they recognize burdens of mental strain on the South African population. They realize that suicide and depression are increasing in South Africa, but they've appealed to communities to stand together in difficult times. So they're speaking about activating the community value system that promotes humanity and Ubuntu.
No, you know why they're doing that? Because they don't want to spend money. They don't have any money to spend anymore.
So rather just say, everyone hold hands.
Everyone hold hands. Yeah, you people
that's
get around
all you need.
Here. Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, I mean, it's money that's causing South Africans, a lot of them, to be depressed.
Yes.
So the ANC's national spokesperson, Pule Mabe, says, enormous economic challenges have grown, with greater pressures to get gainful employment in a rapidly shrinking labor market, limited income generation opportunities. The young and old feel the pressures, strains, and stresses of postmodern society.
Okay.
So at least it's been recognized, even though there's no money being thrown at it.
Well, a lot of people are saying that there are various other kinds of therapy. I mean, people have, what do they call them, support animals?
Yes, therapy animals.
Therapy animals. There's a woman who had an emotional support squirrel on a plane.
Yes.
And it, listen to this. This is honest to God, I'm not making this up. An entire plane was evacuated because a woman's emotional support squirrel went crazy. So the woman ended
squirrels on the plane.
This woman, by the way, she's this very short, very in the picture that I see, she's in a wheelchair, but I don't think she's actually. I don't think
maybe
there's anything wrong
with
her.
Maybe she just needed to sit down for a bit.
Yeah. Airlines have tried to make it pretty clear which animals you can and can't bring on flights. Dogs, cats, and weirdly enough, mini horses.
Yes, those are allowed.
Those are allowed. Pretty much everything else, like peacocks, hamsters, and snakes are a definite no.
I know someone, earlier this year, I don't know them personally.
Yeah.
But earlier this year, someone was denied on a United Airlines flight because they brought a peacock.
Well, this is, they're not allowed.
Specifically
but
not
this
allowed.
This woman took imagine. Her emotional support squirrel on a recent flight. And she got kicked off the plane once the crew found out that she'd brought a live rodent into the cabin. Squirrels can be vicious and nasty creatures liable to terrorize small towns and attack innocent parkgoers, as you know.
Yeah.
But if you can domesticate one, they make pretty decent pets. And apparently for this woman, therapeutic little friends like the squirrel are necessary. Unwilling to endure her Frontier Airlines flight from Orlando to Cleveland without her little buddy the squirrel, this woman managed to sneak it all the way past security and onto the plane. But they explicitly ban rodents in their policies, along with reptiles, insects, hedgehogs, rabbits, sugar gliders, non-household birds, or improperly cleaned animals with foul odor.
Poof, like skunks.
So she and her squirrel were told to ask, they were asked nicely to leave the plane. The passenger was furious. Listen to this quickly. They had to all deplane, I hate that word, but deplane the flight to Cleveland because of this woman with her squirrel. Listen to what was going on. This is the actual footage of what was happening in the airport terminal. So this woman brought her squirrel. This woman in the tweet says the fucking squirrel. Now the police just went on to remove her. And apparently this woman was screaming and shouting. They say she wound up screaming, "Shut up, bitch," at a passenger and giving everyone the finger on her way out off the plane. There's a picture of her being pushed out in the wheelchair with her squirrel, and she's holding up the middle finger. And she's a grumpy old bitch.
How did you make it past security?
I don't know.
Would that someone would be fired?
Look, a lot of people are taking chances with this whole idea of support animals, and they've had to clamp down. But there are people who need them.
I eventually brought her off the plane. Mm. Yeah, it's just amazing. Like, some people have no idea. There we go. That's her. Wow. What a disaster. There's some people who just have no idea how to behave around other people. They live in their own universe, a support squirrel. She and the support squirrel are just weird.
So awkward.
Isn't it weird?
Rights come responsibilities. What is your responsibility as someone who needs an emotional support animal? We aren't saying don't have it. We understand you need it, but do I have to sit next to your flea-infested something?
Yeah.
What if it comes over to me and according gives me
to
rabies?
Her. No, according to, this is also because people are raised badly by bad parents, and society as a whole, we tend to pander to these people. We let them get away with being stupid and doing outrageous things that would never be tolerated. I mean, she and her squirrel should have been, never been allowed on the plane in the first place. And she thinks she's got a right to do this because someone has told her, you're allowed to be as weird as you want, and it doesn't. It doesn't matter if you upset other people or you get in their way or you make their lives
a misery.
You've
got to follow the rules. We live in a society. We have to coexist.
We have to cooperate. This woman's crazy. And that's why she has an emotional support squirrel. I feel sorry for the squirrel.
She's probably a bit Elmira with it and hugs it too hard.
I'm sure. This poor little squirrel.
Girl, either take some Valium, pass out and sleep on the plane, or if you love your animal so much, rather take a road trip with them.
Exactly. Don't fly. Don't fly, because you know that there are probably 120 other people on that plane who just want to get to where they're going. Some of them are going because of work. They're not particularly excited about it. Some of them are going because someone's died. They're not excited about it either. Some of them are going on holiday. They don't want you ruining their holiday. She's not thinking about anyone but herself.
Can you? I would not want the responsibility of having a plane deplaned because of me.
No, thank you. I'd feel very bad about that. But the other way you could treat depression, one of the therapies that's being proffered, is music.
Music, definitely.
Oh.
So I tend to listen to all the wrong types of music.
Yeah, you want to hear what Leanne's favorite song is at the moment? Listen to this. This is what she listens to when she's not in a great mood, in a good headspace.
It even hits those parts of your hearing that can't hear normal things.
Is this really one of your favorite songs?
Yeah, it is. Honestly.
Oh. Sorry, I should be laughing. I'm not a depressed person. That makes me depressed. It's called Cigarettes After Sex. Nothing's going to hurt you, baby. Oy, oy, oy.
That makes me realize that I'm not feeling that depressed, because that song's even more depressing.
It's horrible.
But yeah, numerous scientific...
Is the guy who wrote this still alive?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And you can listen to this first thing in the morning.
They've removed the knives from the room. But lots of scientific and psychological studies show that music can lift our moods, combat depression, even improve blood flow, lower levels of stress-related hormones like cortisol, and ease pain. And it even improves the outcomes for patients after surgery. It's also a way for all of us to open up about mental health concerns, because we have musicians as prominent as Adele, Kendrick Lamar, Taylor Swift, Bruce Springsteen speaking publicly about mental health issues. And can all attest to the power of music to help with such problems. And as Bob Marley said, one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. I don't know if he was talking about just music.
The music or the marijuana.
You want something to make you feel better? Here's the theme from The Cosby Show.
Oh.
There we go. Don't you feel better already? Da, 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 da. All right. Sorry. That was a terrible choice. Here, I'll try something else. This will make you happy.
Come on, get up. The birds are singing a song. Come on, get up. The time is rolling along. Come on. It's such a beautiful day. Yeah. You'll never be wealthy, not even be healthy, unless you get out of the hay.
Yeah.
Get out of the hay.
That's right. You'll never be wealthy, you'll never be healthy, unless you get out of the hay.
Yes. Oh. So get out of the hay.
You depressed people. Let's get your day started, shall we?
I was always, even without knowing this and what science says, I was always very aware of the different songs that I had as my alarm and how they'd affect me.
Oh, really?
Growing up, I would realize, like, why do I feel a bit better with this as opposed to something else? And oddly, the one song that I kept for years, because it just made me feel better somehow, Elvis Presley.
Which one?
A Little Less Conversations.
A Little Less Conversation. A Little More.
There was something about that. I was like, okay, this is it. You know what? Don't reinvent the wheel.
Want to hear what Nola's favorite song to wake up to was?
Jesus wants me for a son.
No! Not
no.
Oh.
No, no, no.
Okay, sorry. More like this. Here's more like it. Yeah, this is it. All right, very good.
This would make me think of last night.
So if you woke up with Elvis, you felt better?
Oddly enough,
okay.
Yeah.
And was there a song that was terrible for you? That you tried for your alarm for one day and you realized this is not good?
Yeah, Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Because it starts
I thought it was very soothing, and I thought that was great to start your day off with, mm-hmm. and then made me think about the world's problems.
Well, of course, you also realize that Michael was at his wit's end by the time he recorded that, because he was being forced to do it like 100 times by Quincy and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was practically in tears when he eventually got, gonna make a change. For once in my life.
It was so spot on.
Do it again, Michael. Do it again. I want your ma say.
Oh, no. I've done it 100 times. I'm so tired. Which dad would you rather have? That dad or the Kennedy dad?
And they're both Josephs.
I'm so tired, Dad.
Do it again, Michael. I will beat you again. Quincy, bring the switch.
Oh, no.
And he made them carry bricks.
Oh, yeah.
From one end of the yard.
Bring the switch. And then Michael would be... Gonna make a change for once in my life.
Mikey.
It's gonna feel real good. I'm gonna make a difference. I'm gonna make it right.
So those are the accents. No. That's him crying.
He's miserable. Guy's having the shittest day ever. You talk about depression. Michael Jackson was in hell, in the jaws of the Leviathan in hell.
Yeah, we thought it was great talent.
And no wonder you'd wake up to that and be depressed.
It was the man crying.
Shame. Horrible. Shame. Shame. Oh, shame.
Guys, I have a question.
Yes.
Is it so wrong that a depressed person like myself listens to music that could be considered sad and depressing, and it just makes me so happy?
I'm not qualified to answer this question.
I don't know, girl. I don't know.
Think I'm probably more qualified than any of you here. I don't know the answer to that.
Do you find yourself wallowing in it? Like, do you find yourself absorbed in your depression? Like, it's almost like a cocoon for you. It gives you a feeling of safety that you're sad and you're listening to sad music.
Not at all.
Not on your own.
No, the music that doesn't make me sad, that's the thing. I mean, the likes of Dio, for example, I'm pretty sure the guy was depressed as hell. He was super paranoid.
Sure.
But his music is so raw. It's so real. It's I don't know how to explain it. Like your Black Sabbaths with the songs like Damaged Soul and God Is Dead.
You should listen to Korean pop. K-pop.
There's a great song by Pharrell Williams that's quite originally called Happy.
Music like that makes you want to be happy. It forces you have to be happy.
But Damaged Soul makes you what?
You know, we're being flippant, but a happy song doesn't make people happy. If you're depressed, it's not about being happy. It's not about sad and happy. It's like am I right? It's like a blanket over everything.
Yeah, you can actually be happy but depressed.
I get you.
Oh,
this is what I'm a very happy depressed.
Person. I'm fascinated by this stuff because it hasn't entered my life. For whatever reason, I'm lucky maybe, or maybe I'm stupid.
No, it's also your A-type personality. You know, A lot of people with that type of personality don't suffer from depression.
But I used to be very flippant about it. I used to say to people, snap out of it. You know,
pull up your socks.
Stop being miserable. Your life's great. And then I realized over time that was exactly the wrong thing to say.
Mm.
That doesn't help anybody.
No.
And it makes you sound like you're really a douchebag and you don't care.
But when you know better, you do better.
I've got something to make everybody happy.
Yes.
Money?
Yoko Ono.
Performing tonight with the Flaming Lips, Yoko Ono Plastic Ono Band.
Yes. Here we are, everybody.
She's Flaming Lips.
She's so good.
She's amazing. Yeah, this will help everybody snap out of whatever you're feeling this week. Take it away, Yoko.
So soothing.
If that doesn't snap you out of depression, I don't know what will.
Goodness.
That's
me.
About all I can do for you this morning. Well, there's a lot to chew on there as well, as if the burning platform wasn't enough.
Oh, Yoko. Oh.
Okay, well, what about, because there are a lot of people who believe in crystal healing.
Yes.
Yeah?
And it's actually forming part of a lot of beauty products and the beauty craze at the moment.
Oh, really? You can crystal heal and do makeup?
Yeah. So some makeup powders have these metaphysical stones in them.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think. Oh, yes. There's Glossier. Their highlighters come in the shades Topaz, Quartz, and Moonstones.
Mm-hmm.
They're all infused with those crystals. And are meant to give you internal enlightenment.
Oh, well, that's always good.
There's Herbivore's Pineapple and Gemstone Mask,
yes,
which is infused with Brazilian white tourmaline that promises to illuminate and energize your complexion.
Aren't these rocks, these are gemstones? Aren't
yes.
they going to scour your face like a scrub?
if you make them powdery enough, maybe not. You can even get perfume supercharged with sacred stones to channel inner strength, balance, and luck. So, you know, if it's something you believe in, it could make you happy.
Sure. Well, there's something to think about. You into crystal healing?
I've never crossed that path, really. I've never really believed
Reiki?
In it.
Reiki?
I do believe in Reiki.
Okay. What's the other one?
I went to
aromatherapy, that's the one.
Yes, that to me is chemical, so I do understand it.
Okay.
I went to a woman that was recommended I go to.
Massage with happy ending?
Yes, of course. Very beneficial. She's a healer of some sorts. She has certificates of note. She's been on all of these courses and all sorts of things. But she just did weird things and it didn't gel with me. Like at one stage she had me...
Did she touch you inappropriately?
Not really.
Okay.
But at one stage...
Did you want her to?
She definitely not. At one stage, she had me put an earbud into my mouth so that it got full of saliva.
Mm-hmm.
And then she put it into my belly button and left it there for the whole treatment.
Wow.
And then she makes you do these
chants.
Where
do her certificates come from? The University of...
It's so weird. She made me do these chants.
Bozo the Clown.
And then she asked my body for permission, my chakras and all of that, for permission to enter my spiritual realm.
Oh, yeah. Talk about, that's very Cosby-ish.
And she drives.
I want to enter your your spiritual realm.
You make a fist and she drives your hand like it's a gear stick.
Gee, all right. You went to her once.
Yes, I went once.
You wouldn't have gone again.
No. And then she still emailed me and said, how was your experience? I'd love you to let me know. And I couldn't.
You had to pay for that? For some
reason? No.
How much did she charge you?
Very voodoo-ish. It wasn't exorbitant. I don't remember how much, but maybe like 350 or something.
Did
the
she
bell.
Bank with VBS Bank?
That
how you pay?
Sense.
Yeah, that was the trick.
No. Michelle says, Sia, I never knew I was depressed until I went for therapy. Best thing ever was I was also on medication, but no longer need it. Michelle.
Hmm.
I suppose some people, you have, you know, these cases where people are able to not be depressed their entire
life. It can be phases, yeah.
Well, because it might seem like an arbitrary example to use, but for me, I then thinking along the lines of someone who doesn't know they have bad eyesight. And no. By their definitions, oh, their eyesight is
fine. You think the world just looks like that.
And then they go to the doctor, then they find out, oh, shit, actually, I do need
you stumble into the doctor by mistake. They were actually looking for the post office.
But I would think it's a bit similar if you say for some people
it's
with
literally
mental
like,
health
if you're
issues.
On the right medication, it's literally like a dark cloud lifting. You feel it.
Wow.
And before you didn't know, or before you thought this was normal.
Huh. Yes, you thought it was normal until you started saying things to people like, I can't walk down this passage, it's too long, it's just too tiring.
Sure.
I just don't want to.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on today. So obviously pay attention to the news. We'll give you some more of that. Tomorrow and for the rest of next week, I am not here. So I'm going to be in New York. We'll check in, though.
Happy travels.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will be probably Skyping in once or twice during the course of next week, letting you know what I'm up to over there. Otherwise, have a good week.
And, start spreading the news.
Da, da. Exactly.
You're leaving today. Oh, I was about to whip out the anyone, fishnet stockings
anyone
for
else?
That number.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, Gaz, you were.
I'm about to.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com